Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Dan.
And I'm Jordan.
And this is Flyover Ministry. Jordan, I have a question for you. Do you have any of your college textbooks still available? Did you get rid of them or do you have any on hand?
Yeah, I'm a low-key hoarder, so they are still occupying space down in my basement bookshelf. And I keep them like with the idea that, oh, I might reference this sometime. And, you know, I haven't done much referencing of those texts. There's something to be said about having a good library of things available for when you do need it. But there's also a balance of like, what can I make digitally available to me? But yes, I do have a lot of my college textbooks.
That was the big question in our seminary class that we circled around to. Do you get Logos or not? And everyone who got Logos talked about the ease of digital access to be able to just, the search function made it worth it for some. And for others, like myself, that were just on a lower budget, we just said, well, we're just going to go analog here and just do it the old style. If it worked for Martin Luther and if it worked for George Fairchild, well, what's the point? But yeah, it does make it look semi-professional. If you ever do like a recording podcast or like a Zoom call, it makes you look fairly smart, so long as you dust around them. Like, that's the problem with having a huge library, is all the dusting. But Wade, do you have any of your old college textbooks kicking around your office?
To my knowledge, I have neither thrown away nor sold a textbook.
Oh, wow.
In 14 years of post-secondary education.
Jerry Moan, look out. Wade is
going to... No, he has a problem. My problem is I don't have enough shelves. His problem, it's clinical. So, So this philosophy of science... 2-3 classes I do for apologetics and Christian thought, just to scratch the itch for the engineers and to expose, you know, science for, you know, what it should be as opposed to what it's become in our society for everybody else, so they don't get bluffed by a scientist, somebody in a lab coat saying preposterous things. You know, it does not mean you have to believe them. Same thing with a pastor saying preposterous things. You don't have to believe him either. But so one of the stories I tell them is I went off as a pastor in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and for fun, I started rereading my college textbooks. I know this is a problem. Paul Tipler, Introduction to Modern Physics. I took the class 93-ish, and this would have been 2004, so that's 11 years. And I'm rereading the textbook because it's, you know, physics is fun, and just trust me, if you're not into it, you should be. So I start reading it, but then I thought, well, you know, this was a rapidly advancing field. I wonder what's changed in the past 11 years. So I called up a friend of mine who was still in the industry, and I said, well, what's changed? And he said, quote, throw away the book. It had changed that much. Okay, so, and this is why I do a philosophy of science unit with the students. So Stephen Hawking, the late great physicist, he said in the book The Grand Design, paraphrasing now, we don't need God anymore, we have quantum mechanics. In other words, all the order, appearance of order, information, structure, purpose, or appearance of purpose in the universe is baked into the matter. So we don't need God, we've got matter, or matter energy, or matter energy information. So why should I go with that? Why should I get rid of Jesus because of a citation to a field that can completely change in 10 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is a tremendous statement to just mentally chew on. Do you know the difference between a hoarder and a collector?
No, I do not.
Display case. Thinking of your bookshelves, my bookshelves as well, I've got boxes up in our attic at our church that have not been opened. But We're going to continue with this conversation here, just jumping back onto the outline from where
that's funny, by the way. That was really good.
Oh, thank you. Yes. See, Jordan, this is an actual joke as opposed to certain dad jokes that have been shared in previous episodes. But Wade, we're going to start off with a quote unquote softball question. Not really a softball question at all, because I think there's quite a bit of nuance to this. But in your estimation here, what might be some instances where someone should not pursue a higher education?
Personal identity. That's the biggest one. If it's like, I don't know where I fit in the world. I'm not very secure. If only I had a doctorate. Yeah, then, right? Or like the person whose default response to conflict is control, and they think the answer is to get a master's degree in organizational leadership. It's like, oh good, a control freak, a tyrannical control freak with skills. So stay away from that. I you know the other one? Prestige, although that's going away too. Thanks to the Ivy League's recent foibles. But the whole idea of I'm going to pay $40,000 to $80,000 a year for a prestigious name on my diploma, and they're going to fight against everything that's actually true, good, and beautiful, and hate my confession of Christ, but I'm going to go there because that's prestigious. I mean, it's like, come on, give me a break.
And at the same time, I think it does matter where you get your degree from, though, if you're pursuing higher education. Like if it's a diploma mill school versus...
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, there's a difference between... Yeah, make sure it's like actually a college. So that's very helpful. There's an institution of higher education of some sort that I've become familiar with from... some athletic endeavors. I'll just leave it there. Where, not only could we had somewhat of a problem with the school, but the biggest thing we had a problem with was their accreditor, where we couldn't find the existence, or in philosophical terms, their accreditation agency had an ontological problem. So accreditation isn't everything. But having someone outside of yourself hold you accountable for the promises you make to students, parents, and supporters, it's quite helpful.
So you're saying, Wade, that there is a difference between a seminary education that I could get through AFLTS compared to my Universalist Unitarian Seminary ordination that I have printed from a class online.
There's a chance that our seminary degree would have better utility. Yes.
Okay. Thanks for that clarification. So what are some of the different levels of education that are available to people? So we're kind of looking at like easy entry options for people involved in ministry. I know that we're going to get to seminary next week, but for someone who's like really finding that imposing of that dedication of years, what are some other options that might be existing?
Yeah, that's a really good question too. So much of this is contextual, and a lot of what I say this week and next week, which I'm also saying today because of the way we're recording, it's like The Price is Right. You record more than one episode at a time, so please don't take. Yeah, obviously, I have some. Skin in the game here, some preferences. I also have some opinions. I am a man of many opinions. They are correct opinions. And the reason why I can say that is if I didn't think they were correct, I would have other opinions. But that said, I'm not God.
The reason you can say that is your wife isn't on this recording.
Yes, exactly. And so, I mean, you can come to different conclusions and still be deeply respected brother in Christ. So just with that said, okay, so if you are already in a ministry setting and you're finding yourself undertrained, there are many ways to get a little bit more, whether it's reading on your own, reading in a group, taking a seminar, taking a class online. There are so many good classes online. Just get together with, if you're in a Lutheran setting, and I'm guessing many of us are, reading Luther's Large Catechism together. It's not that large. It's delightful. It's just wonderful. Read 10 paragraphs and talk it over, something like that. You can do all kinds of things to get sharper. People have done that for, millennia. So that would be one thing. If you are finding yourself, though, in need of more formal education, there are so many online places to get a degree. And some of them do better than others. One that I'll mention in Fergus Falls, the Lutheran Brethren Seminary, I think they do a pretty good job of trying to mitigate the weaknesses of online education. And at the same time, they wish more of their students were in person, because, face-to-face contact is something, right? So, but there are places to go. We don't do anything online for our seminary, largely because if you want to or need to go online, those options already exist. Why would we replicate that? So that said, if you want to be a pastor, I think more often than not, the right response to, I think God's calling me to be a pastor, is to go get trained to be a pastor, go to seminary. Because if I know it's hard to move, moving's hard. It really is hard. I never want to move again, blah, blah, blah. I'm with you. Okay. That said, when you get done with your training, are you expecting to stay in your house and at your church when you're done with your training? And if you're willing to put a geographical limitation on God's call for training, why won't you put a geographical limitation on God's call for ministry? And it kind of feels like that's putting yourself in the driver's seat from day one. And honestly, the older I get, some of our graduates come through here and they have a picture of where they're going to serve, and they're going to make it happen in some way, shape, or form. And it's also true of guys who are later in their career. And I'd be way tougher on that, except when God called me here to the school 10 years ago, I knew it was the right thing. And I did not handle it gracefully. It was very, very hard for me. So I have a bit of empathy, but the fact that I was wrong and you're wrong doesn't make us right.
Sure. Because you had just finished working on your house in Sioux Falls when you got that invitation, correct?
Yes, too soon. Too soon. It'll be 10 years in May. I was working on, we bought a house from our chiropractor who ended up working here for years. Brad Byerly, good friend. They decided to sell their house and move to Ecuador for full-time ministry, and they sold us their house, and we loved their house. It wasn't a fancy house, but it was a big house, and it was on the edge of town, beautiful setting, and needed a lot of work, and I'm kind of a, I'm a hack, fixer-up guy, and but it was a nice place. Now somebody else has it, and it's great. But so we'd been there for 9 months, maybe. And I was putting the last bolt in the kid's swing set that I had harvested from somebody else's backyard with permission. And I got a phone call. It was my day off. And I tend to not answer my phone on my day off. I saw it was Lloyd Quambeck. And, Lloyd's a friend. And, I've never regretted taking a call from Lloyd. So I picked up the phone. And as it was going through that little transition of you pick up the phone and somebody starts talking, it goes through my head, oh, he's on the school board. And he was inquiring about, he wanted to put some additional context to the packet that I had received in the mail. And it was a packet I never did receive. It got lost or something. I never did get the packet he was talking about. So I wasn't even sure what he was talking about. But Michelle and I both knew that the school was calling us for something. We didn't even know what it was for sure. And we both knew that we had to go. And that was hard for us because we loved our ministry and our life in Sioux Falls. And side note, for those of you who are considering real estate investment, buying a house and moving in within a year, that's not a great way to build equity in your home.
It kind of tanks your credit.
Yeah, it wasn't great, but we made it.
I'll say here, just as one who can empathize with this, as Hannah and I are working on our basement right now, that is something that goes through my mind as well. Like, oh boy, Lord, if you call, I suppose this will be another Mobley situation.
If Lloyd calls, don't answer.
Just avoid Lloyd Quambeck's calls.
Yeah, avoid the Lloyd. So no, but that's no, but it, but honestly, it's like, so as much as I knew, and Michelle knew, Michelle even asked, she said, do you feel relieved? Because it's, it's not like, I'm trying to be careful here. It's not like I was sitting in Sioux Falls waiting for a phone to call so I could, you know, come to Minneapolis where the ministry really happens. It wasn't that. Because the congregation is where the ministry really happens. But I love education. I was serving on the board of a Christian liberal arts college, a classical college at the time. We were working on starting a classical academy, you know, for our kids and some others. I was actively learning and growing, you know, pedagogical. I was trying to be a better teacher in the congregation. And I was teaching some others along with it without really realizing that's what I was doing. So in Michelle's mind and a lot of other people's mind, it was a very natural fit. And honestly, I didn't ever want to leave that church or Sioux Falls. And I did not handle it with grace. But got over it eventually. And here we are. It's going great. Very, very thankful for God's graciousness through it.
So if we're following up this path here of low-hanging fruit, easy access, but valuable stuff for people to pursue, I'm curious to know your perspective. Like, as you've been working with leaders in congregations for years now and just have witnessed a lot of different settings and stuff, are there any particular fields or study topics that really rise to the surface of, you know, this is an area that just a couple of maybe good books would really help the body because we just don't have much.
Yeah. Oh man, that's good. Okay. So as far as books that aren't written yet or books that are out there that people might not know about.
I don't know how it would link to a book that's not written yet, but
yeah. So I think from a, from a free Lutheran perspective, there are many books that have not been written that should be written. And that's largely because we don't write. It's also because there aren't enough of us to sell. So it would be, so writing has become an altruistic enterprise. In fact, it always has been. Got a friend in the industry who says a successful SKU or a successful item number is 10,000 books. Average royalty is $3 per. So there's 30 grand and only 5% of the topics, 5% of the submissions they select for publication ever make it to that 10,000 mark. So of the SKUs that they select to print, 5% are moderately successful, and that will yield the author about 30 grand gross. So writing is an altruistic enterprise. So that said, there's all kinds of things to write. But as far as what people don't know that they really ought to, okay, nobody knows philosophy anymore because we quit teaching philosophy about 50 years ago. Instead, what we do is we impose a philosophy that everybody has to use or they get voted off the island. And that philosophy is generally not friendly to Christianity. So spoiler alert. I would say, start reading some of the great books. Well, first of all, read scripture. I mean, I got to say that because I don't know if people are reading their Bibles, but read your Bible a lot. Go to Bible study. Insist that your pastor is actually teaching the Bible and not surfing for things on Right Now Media. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Okay. He should actually be going and getting something from God in the Bible and teaching you because it's shepherd the flock of God that is among you, not find a good DVD series for him. So actually teach the Bible in your church and in your home. That's the first thing. Beyond that, look for areas of interest. I'm a bit of a Bobo fanboy something. C.S. Lewis, Francis Schaeffer, Nancy Piercy, most of what Stand to Reason, Greg Kokel's ministry does, though they're not Lutheran. Actually, none of these people are. But there's so many good books out there. Finding Truth by Nancy Piercy. Everybody should read that. Very practical, accessible. After that, Total Truth by Nancy Piercy. If you're into art, Saving Leonardo by Nancy Piercy. If you're into science, The Soul of Science by Nancy Piercy. You have Francis Schaeffer's trilogy, the Crossway series from the 70s. He is there and he is not silent. The God Who Is There and Escape from Reason. And then anything that C.S. Lewis wrote. I just took a class on sabbatical last fall. I took a class from, there's an example. I audited a class from Houston Christian University. So it was online, bunch of reading. I did the assignments, but just for personal enrichment because I didn't need the college credit. And we studied, we were doing logic maps of C.S. Lewis's essays. And it's just masterful writing. So if you haven't read The Abolition of Man or haven't read it for a while, you should read it. That's a good one. Yeah, Mere Christianity is gold. So there's all kinds of books to read, and I'm giving you a bunch of old ones. Some of the books that are modern or more recent, some of the topics, there's a lot of good books out there right now, but be a little bit careful. You know, Matthew Vine's God and the Gay Christian, that's not a good book. You don't read that one. But at the same time, you should be able to interact with those ideas. And I'm looking at my bookshelf now. I've got so many books that you'd enjoy reading, but who's got the time to read everything? Pick something, read it, find somebody to talk about, like not like you know everything. Interact a little bit and get better at these ideas. And then ask a question, how does this apply to my life today? What does this do in my daily conversations?
That Matthew Vine reference is really significant too. Just thinking of I understand the appeal culturally wise for students who are struggling in this area to go there because it reinforces something they want to hear. But if you've watched any of his messages that he does online or something, never mind. It wasn't Matthew Vines. It was another one. That's
I know who you're talking about. I can't remember his name, but
Brendan Robertson. But he talks about the Genesis account, and he actually says that God was withholding, Satan was righteous in the temptation. And I was like, wow, if people. Like, if that doesn't cause red flags, we've got issues.
Well, there aren't red flags anymore because we don't think, we feel.
Sure.
So the only red flag is, that doesn't feel good. And we need to fight that. That's the philosophy. And it's, how do we know stuff? It's epistemology, truth, beauty, and goodness. Truth is epistemology, beauty is aesthetics, and ethics is goodness. So truth, how do we know what we know? Right now, our epistemology is it feels good. And if it doesn't feel good, then I need to do something else. And so there aren't red flags. There's just, I don't like that.
And I do think that that's part of what makes people hesitant about, I don't know where to start because there is an abundance of good books out there. There's also an abundance of really not great books at all. And then there's, middle of the road books that you could take or leave. Chew the meat, spit out the bones kind of thing. But I think people are trying to find I'm looking for, what are good places to start? So thanks for those.
Yeah, I think those are good places. Walt Mueller. And there's a ton of good podcasts. There's just so many. Everybody's got a podcast. No offense. So it's Walt Mueller, I have yet to waste time on something that the Center for Parent and Youth Understanding has put out. It seems like it's find some place that gives you high value content and go with it. And you don't have to agree with everything. That's the whole thing about, so I've read Matthew Vines. That I'm not saying you shouldn't read this stuff, but some of this stuff, like the Gospel of Thomas, is pseudepigrapha. It's a false gospel. One of the ways you can know that it's a false gospel is to read it. look at what's in there. There's no equivalency to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So just, you know, read this stuff and be a little bit discerning. You don't just soak it all up. The problem with doom scrolling TikTok is people aren't thinking. They're barely even reacting. It's just it's like blah for your brain. And I understand the appeal of that because I've done it too. But you're not really thinking. You're not really learning. You're not being discerning. You're just responding emotionally.
I would even say, I mean, okay, so this isn't on the outline, but this I'll end my bit with this question, Wade. Are you a fan of audiobooks, or are you a book purist where hard copy paper in your hands is the way to go?
Well, if you're driving.
Right.
I have a number of books that earlier when you were talking about, do you do Logos or the hard? And I think, well, I mean, or if so, yeah, I understand there's a money issue there for sure. But I have listened to a lot of books. Most of them I own in hard copy too, and have marked them up. But you can also listen to something at fast pace to get a feel for it, and then go back and really digest it. But I mean, I listened to a ton of books, but I don't listen to philosophy or heavy duty theology. Those are things I feel like I have to interact with physically. Malcolm Gladwell, I love Malcolm Gladwell's writing. He's wrong about all kinds of things, but his writing is beautiful. I've always got a history of some kind, whether it's a podcast or Susan Wise Bowers, various histories, the story of history. Several volumes of that, just a good basic world history outline to keep the timeline and the geography fresh. I listen to those. I don't think I've ever read those in print, but yeah, I like audiobooks a lot, but I don't think there's a substitute for, oh, if you struggle reading, yeah, maybe like a little dyslexic or something, reading it with your eyes while you listen to it with your ears, it's magic. Mm.
So it sounds like there's a lot of different things out there, and I know of different groups. We've referenced CPYU, and I'm sure you could reach out to a number of different places. And Wade, even ask if someone were to send you a quick message saying, "Hey, I'm interested in this topic." Would you feel confident in being able to put together like a small reading list for them? Yeah. So.
Well, yeah, I've got a 300 book bib that I give to my students, you know, but I just got one in my hand right now that I haven't read. I'm looking forward to reading. Rosaria Butterfield, you're familiar with her, aren't you?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Gospel Comes with a House Key. Her book, Five Lies of Our Anti-Christian Age.
Yep.
You know that one? Brand new.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say her talk about it. I thought you were going to say it. I haven't read The Gospel Comes with a House Key, and I just about fell out of my chair.
No, that's a really good book. Hey, people get hung up on that one because they say, oh, I could never do that. That's not the point. The point of that book isn't to do that. The point is to view your life as an exercise of hospitality, which is making room for another. It doesn't have to look like that. It's just you can't be a curmudgeonly misanthrope that wants to be left alone all the time. I'm referring to myself. Five Lies of Our Anti-Christian Age, copyright 2023. Fantastic book.
I'll add it to the list.
All that to say is that for people who are looking at easy access, there's something, it's hard to find something that's going to be as quality of an opportunity as a book, where there's a lot of research and time going into it that is readily available, low cost, as long as you have time, and plenty of places to get sound, good reading lists to be able to know what are some reputable authors and idea content and stuff like that. So I just encourage you guys, though, as you look at your own life and ministry and see what the Lord is bringing to your attention through your students and through your context and congregations, be looking for opportunities to be grown, challenged, stretched, and interact with some of those ideas that we talked about from other perspectives so that you know how to walk your students through that. It's one of the great things that we can do and is available to all of us. So just really encourage you to have that heart of humility to recognize that we all have stuff to learn continually. And may you be encouraged, and may you go in peace and serve the Lord.